Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
To the sweet sounds of Kevin Bloody Wilson, it's Hump Day with Swanee and friends Samantha Richards and Dane Swan. Hello.
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 Hi there. Ralph, we can't see you.
Is that a bad thing?
Well, no.
Listen, not particularly. You're you're just initials.
So I'm not a tennis ball like Sam.
No, you're not a tennis ball.
Why do I come up as a tennis ball of all things? Is that something I've done consciously or does that just happen?
You're the woman behind the technology, I guess. So
you're our CFO now.
Yeah.
CTO, Chief Technical Officer.
And Operating Officer. And
I'm the CFI. Chief fucking idiot.
Very true.
And an influencer, Dane. And an influencer.
Yeah, well, hey, like I got told back when we were playing footy, when we had to do all these leading team stuff and that, like one of the things they made you write down was name the top five people with the biggest influence at the club. So I've always been influencer. I mean, like, you know, I was at my peak, I guess, I was always like, you know, Nick Maxwell, Scott Penry and me were probably like the three who had the most influence. But then they got up and said it's not necessarily, you know, Maxi and Pendle's positive influence, and Stain, you're not always necessarily positive influence. So it doesn't mean all about positive influence. Just who's got the biggest influence. And I, you know, they said I was in the top couple, but it wasn't always necessarily a positive influence.
Right.
So I guess I'm an influencer, but it's not always positive. Sometimes there was negative influence, which I took umbrage with, but. That was just a quick story that
you're a positive influence in my life on Saturday night.
What?
Saturday night.
What you were a positive. No, you weren't there, but you were a positive influence in my life. What?
Okay, why?
Went out for dinner for the first time since January.
Yes. Just being recorded? Because we just would like to have this down. Let's make sure that I've actually been a positive influence.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Went out for dinner. Order mains. Come around. Would you like some bread with that? In fact, yes, I would. My friend Dane says you should be taping how long it takes people to claim the pieces of bread.
And how long did it take them?
Yeah, we didn't muck around. Yeah, okay. We didn't wait for dessert, which is jailable, yes?
Yeah, exactly.
But I guess ideally you want your guests to wait around so that you get an extra bread roll. Isn't that the hope?
Yeah, if you're hungry, yeah. If you're a big eater. All right, I eat a lot when I go out for dinner. I'm going to get value for money. But I hope I've made the world a safer place with my bread roll. Etiquette, I guess, want a bit of a term, yeah. Where'd you go? What'd you have?
Melbourne Hotel, just something that had been shot. Yeah. Something had been shot with some peppercorn sauce. Very happy with it. Hey,
Wasn't horse, was it, Ralph?
No. A horse paid for it, which was nice.
Okay.
Hey, and you got out of town?
You know more about my life than I do, Ralph.
When do you put it on socials.
He's always watching, Dan.
Yeah.
You reposted something Taylor put up. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We went Sunday down to down in Mornington, went to some wineries and went for lunch at, here we go, let's see how good my memory is, at a brewery, at a Stillwater, I think it was called. But I didn't want to give them, they made me pay for the lunch, so I don't want to really shout them out.
I was about to get there.
Nothing.
This is where I was going. If it was Brunnen, it would have been ideal.
We went
to Nacken's Brewery and followed. We washed it down.
Exactly. For everyone listening out there, if I walk into your store or walk into your shop and I get stuff for free, mate, absolutely, you'll get a plug on this podcast. Not that I guess normal people really listen to this podcast, but
we love them all.
But yeah, it was absolutely. It was good to get out. Traffic was pretty hectic down there, which I guess we didn't really think about when we booked it. But it was nice to get out of town for a couple of hours. Legally. But it was nice, mate. What did you guys get up to? Anything apart from Sam? Did you do anything?
I can't really remember. Do you find it harder to, like, do all your days still blur into one, even though you're actually doing things now?
I actually find I'm very busy now somehow. I don't know why, but
yeah.
I am.
Oh, actually, I had an outing to Chad Vegas. I went to Chadston.
To what?
Chad Vegas. Chadston.
Okay. What do you call it? Chad Vegas?
Yeah. Chad Vegas.
Why?
Well, because
it's the female equivalent of a dad joke there, Dave.
It's full of tourists.
It's really Las Vegas.
Okay.
Do you know there's a hotel out there now? Like literally people obviously not fly into this country, but tourists can come to Melbourne and stay at the
Is there a casino?
No, not yet, but I wouldn't put it past them.
Is there a nightclub?
I can't confirm or deny. I don't think so. There's bars.
Pool parties?
There's no pool party.
Is there an airport?
Yeah, but Dane, your experience of Vegas
is not normal.
Skewed to one side.
Just checking my Vegas checklist off, and nothing is ticked off to Tadston at the minute. So I'm really struggling to find out how you can compare.
Was there a giant food court in Vegas, Swanny?
Is there a Bay Marie with Jimmy's and that in there?
Now, I'm not going to actually verbalise why it's it's full of tourists. That's all I'm going to say, because otherwise we'll be in the Herald Sun for making remarks that are somewhat discriminatory.
I actually need to go out to Chats. I need to go to the Apple store. I need to buy myself a new computer because I keep doing my old ones fucked and I have to do all this shit off my phone.
Oh.
In saying that, but I guess I could probably claim it back on tax because it's work, is it not, if I go buy myself a computer?
I'd be checking with Leon Pickering, but I don't think any doubt whatsoever this is hard work for you now.
Yeah, this is hard work.
He doesn't speak to me anymore unless he's got, unless I'm making him money, which is fucking not very rarely.
Well, actually,
I filmed an ad yesterday.
Oh, very proud of you. How did that go?
Did we pay it for, or did we wait for it?
I don't know whether I can actually say it yet. But I guess once it comes out, I don't think it's going on the TV. It's for another company. But when it gets released, well, I guess we can talk about it. Just in case they don't want to announce or anything. But I spent a full day in the sun, burnt to a crisp, which was nice.
Ooh.
More sacrificing. So let's cut to the chase on Twitter. Friday. I've heard it might be a tough day down at the club today and they might need to hire some security. So word to the wise, if I may, Collingwood, please don't let Dan Andrews hire the security because people inside have been fucked enough this week. I'll see myself out. Any reckons gone at Collingwood this past week?
Well, hopefully it's gone better than some of the mentions after that reply.
Do you really want to look at your mentions?
No, like I've said before, not really. But I don't know. There must be some algorithm on Twitter because, you know, you got the three buttons, like all the three choices where you got your feed, your mentions, and then you've got another button that does something. The other one, I can't remember what that is, but you can click on it and when you go to your mentions, or then it's verified or something like that. But you go to mentions and, like, I'll just for argument's sake, I can't do it now because I'm on my phone's recording this, or it's on this, so I'd lose it. But like, you look at that tweet, it might have like 100 replies, and then you go to your mentions, and it's only got like 6 or 7. So I don't know how, I don't know why it doesn't have all the mentions. So I don't actually go into my every tweet and read them. I'll just, unless I'm with mates or something, and they ask me like, what kind of replies you're going to get. I just look at that.
And you've been fishing.
Yeah, exactly. I just look at that every now and then. And then, I got one this morning too, saying that I'm something, but like, people still need to relax. Like, it was clearly a joke, but serious.
Serious joke.
Yeah. If you can't tell the difference, you know, you got to, in dark times, you got to try and find humor. You got to try and light the situation. But, mate, people are still angry about it. Like, relax. Like, I think Dan Andrews is great. Look, we're the best state in the world. Haven't done a thing wrong. So, like, I've been his biggest supporter. Like,
all the way through. Solid.
Exactly. I think he's done an amazing job. Like, he's perfect. So, I think Adelaide, South Australia, and like, they should all look to Dan, the man, to realize, to get out of this. So, I don't know what people, are talking about, but if he hadn't fucked hotel quarantine, we would have been like this 4 months ago. But you know, people forget that as well, don't they?
My point is, in round one, do you think the Collingwood players would be concerned running out in the ground that Ned Guy did an interview that didn't go over real well?
No. I guess we can get into the nuts and bolts of it in a minute, I guess. But I liken it to your first day back running a time trial.
Yes.
Everyone's worried about it, and there's so much pressure. And I guess losing plays is probably a bit different, but like, all the carnage around it, coming out, running a bad time trial, and then you get fucking grilled for 3 days about your skin folds, you know, why you didn't come back in good enough shape, this, that, you might not make the side, you know, and I was all Australian the year before, so why do you lie to me? we know darn well, as soon as the football's come out, we start getting competitive. And I wasn't super competitive at training, so I never liked to compete against my teammates or embarrass them. So,
pick that up, Sam.
I don't so much feel like when I was playing on the young kids, like, I didn't want to, and sometimes they would beat me on their merit, absolutely, like, in a, because everyone gets beat, no one's ever, never lost a contest ever, but for like, you know, one instance, there was a young kid who Mick was talking about getting a game. He's like, he's going to play on you during the match, Sim, and let me know how he goes. And like, I just told him, mate, I just let him push me off the ball and like, just let him flog me, and I didn't do a thing. I go, mate, fuck, he was really good. and he played that week. I think he got smacked and got kicked out and got dropped the next week. But okay. At least I got him a game.
You've given him a memory for the rest of his life.
Exactly. But so like, I don't really like to, because they're young kids, they're making their way. Some would say, well, it makes them better. So the once or twice, I might push him out of the way. I'll give him a go. But it just wasn't my competitive spirit. But you know, like, once the balls come out during January, February, when we haven't touched them for ages, well, then the blokes who are amazing athletes get found out, and that's why they wish they could just do time trials the whole time during preseason, because they'd win, you know, they'd win Brownlows and Best and Fairest and be all Australian. But sadly, running in a line for 7-6 minutes is not, is only half the battle to playing footy.
Just on that, before we get into the nuts and bolts of what's happening here, you just remind me, for some reason I've been researching a bit of Kobe Bryant.
Right? How is our old mate going?
He's ringing through any minute.
Must have listened to a couple of early episodes with the man who can't be named. Get me out of here.
But he was not a good bloke to his teammates, and particularly the struggling ones. So on the way through, he would go out of his way to humiliate them. Do you get that mindset?
I do. And everyone's different for everyone. Like Tom Brady, like the GOAT, Jordan. That's probably the reason I'm not the GOAT, to be honest. Should have fight to change my mind. If I'd have been a bit more aggressive. But, mate, I think it's different when you got four, five players on the court.
Yeah.
We had 18 and 20, you know, 20, 18 on the ground at once. And I think in basketball, the one player is so dominant, you got to fall in line to how their personality is. Otherwise, you're not going to get the ball past you, or you're going to get kicked off the side. So, and because those players are so ball dominant, there's nothing you can do. You have to fall in love with them. And over there, it's a bit, unless you're like Popovich or, you know, Phil Jackson, one of the all-time coaches, the player generally runs the race over there. While the, you know, LeBron James makes it pretty, you would imagine, like has all say on the trades and who he wants in. And yep. Things like Kobe would have, yeah, I want him now, get rid of him, he's no good, or he's costing us, so get rid of him. Where here, you know, that just doesn't happen. Even though apparently it happened at Collingwood a week ago, but it just doesn't happen. So it's completely different over here and different mindset. But yeah, so what would happen over there? Yeah, I liken it to the time trial first day back, you go shit out, and then, you know, in 4 months, when balls are kicked, or even when the competitive stuff comes out in January, no one's remembering that. Oh, look, actually, you've been in our three practice matches. You've clearly been our best defender, but because you ran 40 seconds slower than that bloke over there, you won't be playing this week. Well, I understand the reasons for time trials now, because you've got to come back and get a gauge on who's done the work and stuff like that. But in the end, we all know, unless you're in a contract deal, or like you haven't played and you realise this is your last crack at getting a game, being a professional AFL player, then you've got to come back, hit the ground running and stuff like that, or you're a young kid. But yeah, no one will remember what happened last Thursday if Collingwood would come out in a 3-0 and are dominating. But time will tell. Like, yes, if you're looking at the optics, it clearly doesn't look good, because, you know, like I've said, if I had have known that, you know, apparently working hard, being loved by your teammates, being disciplined and not causing any dramas off the field got you kicked out of the footy club, I'd still be playing. and the Rat Pack, it's love it, Dids and Heath and Tomo and all that wouldn't have got the arse. So the mentality of what's being a required player at Collingwood has certainly changed.
Sam, do you think it's been, before Swinney talks more in depth, do you think it's been actually a PR disaster, for both as a PR expert and as an outsider?
Yeah, look, I was actually wondering to myself the other day, and I looked up the list after it was all, like, the dust settled. I was like, was what happened actually as bad as we think, or has it just been blown up in the media because it's Collingwood? Like, a lot of other clubs had, you know, a lot of movers and big players leaving and gaining big players, but we didn't hear as much about them. I think people just kind of jumped on the bait that was the media circus and blew it up themselves. Like, the media would drop something and then Twitter would go fucking mental. So, yeah, it's turned into a PR disaster. I don't know if it's as bad as it seems. I was going to ask Dane Pulley, because he's mentioned on another show that if he could do anything in the AFL, he'd probably be a very good list manager at Collingwood. So as a potential list manager of the club, Dane, do you think it's as bad as people are making it out? Like, they've still got some great quality players there. Yeah, we got rid of some superstars, but there's still some. Are we going to know all of the players when they run out round one next season? Probably.
Exactly. Well, I think it's hard for two reasons, because I think one, it was Adam Treloar, who, you know, and good players get moved on all the time. Now, you know, Adam's a very good player, and what's his probably let down, what his defensive stuff and his kicking at times. Now the last player that could got the ball over 30 times a game wasn't a great kick and wasn't great defensively. I'm pretty sure he was loved at Collingwood and went okay. I think he won a Brownlow. His streak was a three-time BNF winner, five Australians. So I'm sure there's So we've got some similar traits. And I probably cause more grief off the field than Adam. So
probably.
Probably. But I think it was because it was Adam and like what he's gone through publicly, you know, and he's brought it up publicly off, you know, like his struggles with, you know, anxiety or, you know, whatever his mental, you know, health off the field, what he struggled with. So I think that endeared him to the AFL public and especially the Collingwood fans. And, you know, Buck said it was like a breakup, but it was kind of like, yeah, because, you know, he was like a father figure to Adam. It wasn't so much like just a routine or, like, we need cap space, you're gone. It seemed a bit more than that because of how close them two seem to have been and why Adam came to Collingwood because of Bucks and coached him in the under-17s, I think, and had a really great relationship. So, and I guess, and I haven't spoken to Adam, but I'm assuming he felt blindsided. And then, you know, it obviously gets murky because, you know, you always hear what you want to hear, I guess. So he's obviously come away from those conversations thinking that the players didn't want him there, which, you know, I don't think is true from the couple of people I've spoken to, but, you know, people are going to, you know, I find it hard if someone walked up and go, you listen, Adzie, I don't want you there. You fucking, no, you don't run defensively or something, you know, whatever it is. So the coaches always have to be the bad guys, clearly.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's just a weird situation. They signed him on that big contract, so I expected him to be there for a while. Now, you know, I'm not sure whether they blamed his partner, which would be a very stupid thing to do, but reading in between lines, I think they think that he wouldn't have been able to handle being away from his partner for a couple of years, and then his form would have struggled. Is that what you read or what you got?
I've got to say I didn't overly see that. I sort of saw it that maybe they took an opportunity of saying, well, because his partner's going to move, maybe this is our opportunity to have a real think about his long-term future of the club.
Yeah, I think it was
I don't think it was held against him. I don't know, maybe I read it wrong too.
Yeah, well, exactly. There's mixed signals firing everywhere. But it clearly, you know, the optics we've lost, if you just look at it as a strictly draft point of view, clearly it hasn't gone in our favour. We lost Adam Atu, who looked like a promising young halfback, Jaden Stevenson, who could be anything, and Tommy Phillips, who was a pretty hard-running winger. Yeah, he probably fell out of favour, so you can understand that one. And we got what? Fuck all draft picks back, did we? We got one draft pick back.
Yeah, so that's if you look at it in isolation. So my query then, surely the real way of looking at it, and I guess, you know, if that's my job in horse racing, is to look at an overall picture to try and get a result. The overall picture is the reason there were salary cap problems is because the club clearly said we need to have a real long-term commitment to Grundy, Moore and De Goey, because they're the real top, they're three of our top five, and we have to pay over the odds to keep them.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm saying if you just look at the nuts, like just clearly at that trade, at the trade, you're not looking at everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will obviously come out worse than what we went into it. Like we've lost. Yeah. Has Adam been all Australian?
Don't know.
Well, if not, he's been close.
Been close, yeah.
Atu could, you know, Jaden Stevenson could be anything, as we know. Had an ordinary year, but, you know.
You said nothing counted.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's a nothing year. It's a nothing year. So, like, I was about to say before you really interrupted me, Ross. do you count this year? Because a lot of people struggled in the hubs, and it was a waste of year. Maybe Jaden just loves playing in front of big crowds. Because these first 2 years were great when he was playing in front of big crowds. And
already he's got a North.
Yeah, I know. Well, he's fucked.
Wow, that wheeze was epic. I love it.
Yeah. And Flipper, who was on the out anyway, and he lost his job as a wingman, and that's probably his role. So if you're just looking at clearly the draft, it looks like we went shit out. But like you said, you can't judge a draft until we're going next year. Maybe, and we're not inside the footy club walls. We don't know the chemistry. Maybe there was chemistry issues with those players who left, and maybe they come out and they find another spot for someone else who comes to the midfield and sits up forward, and all of a sudden they gel and start dominating the league again. It's very, very hard to judge yet, but the raw emotions of it, because I think Adam was so loved by the footy club, the supporters and stuff like that, and what he meant, how open he was with his struggles, and you know, he's on Fox Footy, you know, once a week, and I think people got to see a big side of it, like a lot of him, and he opened up. I think people at the footy club loved him, and it was a shock to see him to go. It wasn't like he was causing headaches, and people were like, "We got to get rid of this bloke because he's, you know, he's poison." From the outside, it looked like he was as much as loved as anyone at the footy club. Yeah, yeah, he had some problems defensively, maybe kicking it, but mate, who doesn't? Mate, and like you look at all the best mids aren't great defensively. I've said it 100 times. You can't be. Can't be unbelievably offensively and then be able to run back. It's impossible. The way the game is played these days, it's impossible to be unbelievably offensive and unbelievably defensive. Like, not that I've watched the vision, but I'm sure if you look at Dangerfield, Dustin, the Abbott when he was playing, you know, Judd, me, you can't work as hard one way as you do the other. It's impossible. So that's why you have others around you who do the shit jobs, who aren't the best players. That's what they're called, role players, because that's what they help out all the good players with the stuff that they can't do because they're too busy on actually winning the game for you and getting it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
But yeah, it's been a dog's breakfast.
That it was like in the media a lot is, I guess, the main goal of any club is to win a premiership, and whether their game plan is to quickly rebuild and have another run at it next year, which seemed quite apparent. That seemed to be Geelong's kind of game plan with the players that they recruited, with like Jeremy Cameron, like already established good players. It was quite obvious they're gearing up to go again next year. But then it's also quite obvious when you see other clubs that are going, look, we're so far off the mark. Let's rebuild. Let's start from scratch, clear our list, go again and aim for another, you know, in a 5-year period. I think that the confusion was around Collingwood was up there with the best, yet they seem to have gotten rid of some of their best. So I guess it's kind of confusing as to, like, Ralph, you raised a very great insight there as to why they could have done it. Salary cap issues to keep those, you know, three big names in the future. I think just from the general public perspective, it was confusing as to what the fuck they were doing. It just kind of seemed like they were throwing toys out the cot with no real plan.
Yeah, well, I think we need to be careful in saying we got rid of a lot of our best. They got rid of one who was, you know, a very good midfielder. Jaden could be anything. He could go in the midfield, get some game time, and he could be one of the best players in the league. He's got all the attributes. But whether he does or not, because when I was saying, I've seen so many more guys who come in who are way more talented than me, way better skills, worked harder, maybe not so much quicker, but like fitter, you know, just as strong. Like, had all the attributes to be absolutely anything, but for some reason it just doesn't click. So just because you've got the God-given talent or you've got amazing ability, it doesn't always mean you're going to translate into being a superstar. Lots of people have come in. I've come in and thought, shit, like, he's played 5 games with my. He's going to, mate, in 2 years I won't be able to play in the midfield because he's going to be dominating it. So. And then they just fall away for whatever reason. So, obviously they've seen something where now salary cap issues, or they didn't think they could get the best out of whoever they're talking about. So, that's why they got rid of him. But yeah, I'd be careful to say we got rid of our three of our best players, because Adam was in our best half a dozen for sure. Jaden could be anything. And Atu's obviously a young kid. And Tommy Phillips, I think he finished in the top five in the best first year before, but clearly fell out of favour. Now, he might get into Hawthorn, become an unbelievable wingman again, and you know, average 25 to 30 in kick goals, or he may not. So that's the price you pay. But I think it was salary cap issues. Now, what you said with Geelong, if Geelong don't win the flag in the next 2 years,
that's great.
Everyone's going to be looking at them going, and I guess, I haven't seen much media around it, but has everyone praised them for getting like Higgins and Cameron saying it's a great move?
They're certainly not criticising him, and there's just, I think where you're heading is that if they don't get the premiership, they'll look like Dad's army and they'll have given up all their draft picks.
Yeah
that's my point. So it's which way do you go? I don't particularly have a problem with Geelong. I actually like their strategy because you've got to put all your eggs in one basket at some stage. You can't fucking have, you know, 50-50. Well, we get one play, then we get some youth. They've gone for it. They're in that window, in the premiership window, which Mick coined. They think they're one or two players away. They've got them. They've got Higgins, who's a very, very good player, and Cameron, one of the best forwards in the game. So they've put all their eggs in this basket. If they don't win in the next 2 years, once Hawkins, Dangerfield, Selwood, Higgins, you know, and I'm sure I'm missing a couple of their best players. Once all they go and they've got no draft picks, they're cooked. They're going down the bottom of the ladder. Mm. And then I guess, you'll hear supporters, all their Geelong supporters now going, mate, great, we're going to win the flag in the next year. We're awesome by Geelong. They're probably going to be the same people in 2 years to go, what a fucking disgrace. I can't believe we've got no draft picks. We used to kick them all out. So you can't win, but that's why sport's so great because you can just, like, you just change your mind like that. You root for them and then you abuse them. Then they come back up again and you go, good. That's why we love sports because it gives you those emotions and feelings you don't get in everyday life.
And let me ask you one more about Stevenson here. Gary O'Donnell, who was an Essendon champion and part of Lee Matthews' coaching team at Brisbane, very Scott Pendlebury-like in his approach, let's say, to his professionalism, tweeted out yesterday, the boy Stevenson has a chip on his shoulder, which is better than a log he appeared to have on this year. Out to prove the Pies wrong, tick. The Pies, I would have preferred him to have just proved them right in 2020. Just saying, consistent approach, question mark. So I think what he's saying is the words he said yesterday was, yes, I'm going to prove him wrong, but did he have the right attitude in 2020 to prove him right in 2020 while he's still there?
Well, unless he went by the theory, my theory, that 2020 didn't mean anything. It was just a glorified NAB Cup.
I think you're on your own there.
Shout out to NAB.
I'm not on my own. Lots of people felt that way, but...
no, publicly.
Oh, yeah. But clearly, he was ordinary this year. Now, for who knows what reason.
Yep.
Now, you hear things, but he just had a turd. That's just simple as. But sometimes you need a change of scenery to get the best out of yourself. Maybe him and Bucks didn't get along, or his style, his game plan, or the way he played didn't mesh with Collingwood's. Maybe the coaching didn't work for him. You know, there's a myriad of reasons into why he might not have performed this year. He might go to North and get a complete lease of life. He'd probably go to one of the top dogs there because North don't have anyone. They've lost Higgins and Brown and, you know, all their big name players. So he'll go there with Targo on his back and North might free him up. You know, obviously, Bucks has a certain game plan and he might be whatever it is. And they might go North and go, mate, just run around and play your game or just free him up and give him the license to do whatever he wants. And he might flourish there. And if having to prove to someone else that you're good, or if that's the motivation that he needs to get the best out of himself, well, good on him. We all got to get motivated intrinsically somehow. So it'd be a shame it'd be great for him if he comes down and dominates the league. Well, I guess that'll just bring more hatred towards Collingwood for letting him go. But look, a change of scenery might be great for him. Go to a club where there's no expectation and no pressure. Or expect, if we did a poll, most people would expect North to finish in the bottom couple this year, you would imagine.
Yep.
So absolutely no expectation on him. They'll be like, I guess they won't say this. We're going to be shit. You can run around, do what you want. Have a kick and just get away from all the mental stress that's playing at Collingwood, because some people can't handle playing in such a big club. Now, I'm not saying he can or can't. It's just some people go away, like to play in a club where there's not as much expectation. There's not 80,000 eyes on you. You're not on the back page or the front page if you fuck up. You just have a sort of a life where no one really cares about you. So you might.
Sorry, Sam.
No, you go.
No, Sam's cleaning the screen. Bit of a lateral one here, but Mick Malthouse was on the front bar a couple of years ago and he was in great form. And he said, I think it was actually our friend, the big man, rang him from a lunch. I don't know if you were there. You wouldn't have been there, Swatty, because he said, who's at the lunch? And Scotty told him, and Mick said, well, you've all got one thing in common. And they couldn't pick it. He said, bring me back in half hour if you can't work it out. And they rang him back and they said, what have you got? What is it, Mick? And he said, I've sacked all of you.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have been in that category. But the point being, in a footy club, unless you're actually a genuine all-time great, and sometimes even if so, you're going to get your turn, and that's going to mean for a while a player's going to have the shits up either with you as a coach or with the club, and it just takes that time to get it out of your system.
Yeah, and they have every right to have the shits.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't fuck if you got the ass from your racing gig or...
Mate, I hated every boss who sacked me.
Yeah, I know. Surprise. Yeah. Exactly. So you're sure about it. I had the shits walking out of most... Well, not most, but like walking out of your exit interviews. Yeah, mate. you've come off, like, you know, I probably had 5 or 6 years where I was, you know, probably 5 or 6 years where I was pretty good. You know, we walk into a exit interview thinking, oh, well, it's just going to be a slap and tickle. Yeah, no problems,
mate.
Just do what you like, mate. Come back. So I can have a good off season. We'll see you, you know, in 2000 whatever for another good year. But you go in there and you, mate, well, mate, we really need to improve in this. You got to do that. You think, fuck off, mate. Like, have you not seen the year I've just put together? Well, relax, mate. You walk out there going, oh, this fucking asshole are telling me that I need to do this and that and that. And then, you know, that's just what they do because they're trying to improve you and get the best out of you. That's one thing that I guess it took me a long time to learn is that. And it's very, very hard to digest. Coaches aren't there, and even at junior level. Well, coaches, that's what I tell if I ever do a function again with juniors, and it's like, you know, we all think we know what's best for us, but coaches aren't there to piss you off. They're there to actually try and make the team and yourself better. And when you're a player, like, you think the world revolves around you, and you know what you've got, you know, to make yourself the best player, but, you know, they try and give you all this, you know, constructive criticism or some pointers where to get better, and you think you know better, but they always say try not to take it personally, but, you know, it's not personal, but, you know, mate.
Yeah, you're an asshole.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I think with the Treloar thing, that he comes across as a nice bloke that should be done right by, and I think, like, from personal experience, yeah, we don't like the bosses that fire us. I guess from my perspective, it's slightly different because mine are clients and I'm understanding that, you know, you want to go with something different. But there was a client that I was let go from after a very many, many years. But the way they went about it is what pissed me off. I would have been happy to walk away and go, right, you guys are, you know, having new faces, whatever's going away, going whichever way you guys want to go with a rebrand or whatever you're doing. Completely understand. We all run a business as well. But it was the fact that the person that was delivering the news to me actually lied to me, and the only reason I found out is because she was like, oh, we're going down this route, and I was like, cool, I'll help you with that route, here's some people I can suggest. And when those people got in contact with her, they were like, oh no, we've already got someone, we just, you know, needed to let Sam go, but without, like, they were dishonest about it and went kind of the wrong way about it. And I think that's kind of the thing that's coming out of the Treloar situation is everyone's like, he's a nice guy that's well liked, why couldn't you just be straight up with him? Like, what we were saying before about the girlfriend thing, I think they kind of use that as a scapegoat. Like, they're like, oh, we need a way to let him down, or let's just blame the girlfriend situation. They could have gone about it a bit of a more decent way. I think that's
kind of yeah, but I guess, like, being nice doesn't, just because you're nice doesn't automatically mean that you get a nice package out of a football club or out of a, like, in the end, it's a ruthless business.
Mm. Yep.
And the footy club had to do what they think is best for me, and it sucks, absolutely. Like Adam Lowe said, like he had to be an asshole, and he hadn't even endeared himself to fans, and he just had to be all about himself. Now, whether he's all about himself on the field or not, who knows? I've never played with him, but he certainly endears himself to his teammates that off the field, so I can't imagine why he wouldn't have done that on the field. But once you get on the field, you know, it can be different because you know, your adrenaline kicks up and then it's all about footy. But yeah, I think that's why there was so much written about it, because he has endeared himself to the fans and the footy club and the football public, because he is on Fox Footy and the wider public actually know him, where it's not just all the Collingwood footballers, all the Collingwood people know him. The whole AFL community knows him and what he's gone through. And obviously his wife, or his missus, I'm not sure if they're married, has gone up to, is going up north. So it's just been a big clusterfuck. But being nice doesn't guarantee you a spot on the list, unfortunately. That's just the way it is. Well, look at me and the Rat Pack. Well, we stayed on the years. Really, they couldn't get rid of me. but like, in the end, I hope he dominates and proves Collingwood wrong.
Yeah.
And then, but I hope Collingwood dominate mm-hmm. and win a premiership and prove them wrong. So
everyone wrong.
Can there be a happy ending? I'm not totally sure, but listen, it's just one of those things. And it's just like a messy breakup. Time heals all wounds. By the draft, we'll be talking about how we've got the next Scott Pendlebury and the next, you know, Travis Cloke and that into the footy club. Then we'll go from there. But
just finally, yeah, on that point though, Swanee, about football clubs, both as supporters, which only I know obviously, but through covering them, but you've been inside them. They just got this amazing continual evolution, haven't they? Because every year you lose 8 to 10 players. That's just the reality of how the salary cap works. In this case, they're very high profile. By February, the teams surely they'll have their own new chemistry as the 2021 Collingwood team.
No, exactly, and that's, like I said, that's why we love sport and continue to watch them, because it's the life's best drama. It just keeps throwing up. Like, you can't script half the shit that goes on in world sport. You know what I mean? Like, you couldn't script endings like the NFL yesterday. Like, a couple of big games yesterday that finished with a Hail Mary. Like, you just can't script the drama that goes on in, especially in American sports, but like in the AFL. So that's why we love it. It's why we're glued to it. Because we love the ups and downs of footy. Like, if you didn't experience the downs, the highs wouldn't be as good. If you didn't experience all the highs, the downs wouldn't be as down. Like if you won the flag every single year and undefeated, it'd be boring. Like, as much as you say, imagine if you're going for your 25th AFL premiership in a row. Eventually you'd want some competition. So that's what makes our game great. It's very even. It's not like you can put LeBron James onto North Melbourne, all of a sudden they're going to be playing in the grand final. It takes a lot of hard work and a lot of smart people around you to put together what they think is the best side to compete for a premiership. And Collingwood, put it this way, I'm pretty sure Collingwood didn't get there and go, you know what, how can we fuck 2021 up? Let's get together and fucking lose 30% of our members and make sure we finish 10th this year. How do we do that, right? Let's get rid of the draw. We'll piss the club off. We'll piss fans off. We'll get rid of him. Fuck Joe Steve-O off. He could be anything, so we'll get rid of him. One of our most promising young halfbacks. Yeah, fuck him off too. And our hardest running winger. Yep, Gonski. It just doesn't happen. Clearly, they have a strategy and the salary cap relief, which they think was the best for them. Now, you can agree or disagree, whatever you want, because it's your opinion, and you can think it was the worst trade period in Collingwood's fucking history. If you want, that's fine. But it'll yet to be played out, because we just don't know yet. But there's nothing else to talk about, and football rules in Melbourne, as we know, which is great. It's a religion here. And Collingwood, if this happened in North Melbourne or, you know, one of the small GWS or Sydney or somewhere over Frio, it would be in the paper one day.
There's 4 pages in the Herald Sun today.
4 pages. So yeah. Well, that's my point. So
exactly. Collingwood,
you know, Buck said something a long time ago, goes, that Collingwood, When it's good, it's never as good as it appears, and when it's bad, it's never as bad as it appears in the media. So, it gets written up, and some people would generally say it was a disgrace that they got rid of Adam and what he's done and how they treated him. Yes, clearly they just shouldn't have brought his partner in. If they did, I'm not sure they did, but if they did, yes, absolutely not. They should not blame Kim at all or his, you know, family life for anything. That's just a cop out. But they shouldn't do that at all. But it's just four pages. But, well, that's what I mean. You play Collingwood. You're the biggest, probably Richmond now. You're at the biggest club in Melbourne. And people love to buy papers when Collingwood are doing bad, because people love to gloat in Collingwood's misery. And like Collingwood would read it. It's just, that's what happens when you're at a big club. And that's why I love being at a big club, because you take the good with the bad. Because when it's good, it's fucking fantastic, because everyone knows that you're going good and you're the best player in a big club. Everyone knows it and you get a lot of opportunities off the field. But when you're going shit out, you got nowhere to hide. Like, cameras are following you left, right, and center. People want to hear from you. You know, cameras are training. Everyone knows that you're going shit out. But I wouldn't have had it any other way. That's why I love playing at Collingwood. But like I said, we won't know how this trade goes until we're sitting around seven next year going, oh, Collingwood 2-7. Geez, they need an inside mid, don't they? And we don't have one. Or we're 7-0 going, well, look what's happened. It's a bit of water cooler talk right now. Even though no one can beat a water cooler, because we're not allowed to go to work. But that's my take on it. So, in a nutshell, take it as, the optics don't look great, because they got rid of one very good player, and two have got unlimited potential, and one who was a good player but probably faded this year. So it sucks right now because they got rid of some good people, but you can't really know anything until you're in the inner circle, because they might have been hemorrhaging, like you said, Ralph, money, and said, oh, well, we can't re-sign Darcy, was he All-Australian this year? I think he was All-Australian halfback, or Brayden Maynard's coming out of contract. We're not going to be able to sign him. We're going to have to lose him. So I imagine they've taken the hit this year. So they've taken the hit this year to be able to re-sign some key players who are coming out of contract in the next year or two, I would think now. So when they re-sign Geordie next year, Brayden Maynard, Majacek, and some other Taylor Adams, they'll be like, oh, mate, how good's this? But they wouldn't have been able to re-sign them if we didn't get rid of who we got rid of now. So that's what it is, but no one looks too far to the future, because we're all focused on the present. And it's a gift. That's why it's called a present.
Speaking of happy endings, Dane, you mentioned it can't be a happy ending for everyone. But I've found on the internet this interesting fact, and I wonder if you've got some insight into how they would gather this information based on happy endings. Apparently, the pig has the longest orgasm observed in mammals. The domestic pig has the longest orgasm of any known mammal, lasting an average of 30 minutes. 30 minutes. However, pig orgasms can peak at 90 minutes in some case. That's a game of football. Talk about pure bliss. Dane, how would one investigate and document said fact?
Well, you'd have to fuck a pig, I guess, wouldn't you? And I'm not going to go out there and say I know many people who have done it.
And more than once to figure out how long.
Yes, I think the other thing is a bit of overkill. I don't need 90 minutes of that.
Yeah, a football game worth of an orgasm? 30 minutes? Would you go 30 minutes?
I'd be asleep for 3 days.
Afterwards?
Yeah, no, there's no need for that. That's just overkill. I don't know. I don't know how you figure that out. That's a nice job. Actually, here's one for you. My mate owns a some special breed of bulldog, and they got it given to him, but they need the owner or whatever comes around and collects its seed. So this lady comes over and jerks the dog off.
Not into a hot dog bun, I hope.
No, into a jar, I guess, into a cum, into a little bottle. So to grab a stuff. Imagine that job, just sitting there, just
wanking off a bulldog.
The bulldog. But
a mate of my dad had to do that with greyhounds.
Oh,
did he?
Yeah, Hey, Swanny, that's cash in hand.
Yeah, well, it's also something else in hand.
We've got a guest for another podcast we're going to do lined up, apparently. So just a couple more quick ones. From Fatty Aaron, does Dane know Mick said he was one of the hardest players he ever had to coach?
Mick said I was what?
One of the hardest players you ever had to coach.
When did he say that?
I don't know. We need more information.
I'll find that out, please. Contrary to popular opinion, I was actually very, very easy to coach. I never really argued or complained. I just did what I was told. Off the field, I might have, like, away from the football club, I might have had some problems. But game day, man, I'd never argued, not with Nathan, not with Mick. Like, I might have, like, mate, I think this is going on. But, like, I just went out and did what I was told. So I think I was, like, seriously pretty fucking easy to coach.
All right, we'll wrap it up there. This has been Hump Day.
Oh, God. Bye, guys.
All right.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.